Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Gronkowski pushing his way. Intercepted at the four. And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Congratulations from your flagship station for Patriots football.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And I said, what are you doing running? And you're saying it was really good out?
It's the perfect texture for running. Very low impact, and it's dry snow, so your feet don't get wet.
Stay warm.
All right, thanks. We've seen a lot of people out here, like you said, running, sledding, just enjoying it. One thing, oops, that can happen, unfortunately. Looks like Chelsea's okay. You okay? Yes, okay.
No doubt about it.
Going snowwear fast.
Oh, snow.
Snow way.
There's snow body better.
Snow me the money.
Ice, ice baby.
Snow my God. Snow MG.
Snow my goodness.
This snow joke. Get it? Our producer was very proud of that line, so I feel like I had to say, it's snow joke.
It's snow joke.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jace, do I just may?
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your death.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep.
All right, that's the longest I can stall. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studio. It is Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning. And boy, does it suck outside. That is just the fun nightmare we've been looking forward to all season long.
That's Tim, the worst I've seen it in a long time.
Yep, that is the one. To all the people who've been saying, you know what, I sure like snow. Sure is pretty around here when the ground is covered. That no, this sucks, and it's no fun, and we've been fairly lucky up to this point, but here we go. Finally, for the first time, real accumulation and just a nightmare on the streets. I know that we talked to Mike Lockhart. I talked to him earlier, and Mike comes all the way in from over near Gillette, and it's just wreck after wreck after wreck all the way in, and I got stuck behind some of the snow plows. I mean, they're doing the best they can, but I mean, as soon as the highways are plowed, it's coming down so hard that it just gets covered right back up again, and as they go on loop. And John, you had somewhat of a nightmare coming in as well.
Yeah, I'm driving in eastbound on the Pike. I live out in Natick, and you get to the Mass Pike, and it looked like it hadn't been touched. And this is about 4:15 this morning. I mean, there are no wheel ruts to like choose a groove. You're bouncing all over the place. And thank God when I got to the barracks coming in eastbound, that line of snowplows like swooped out in front of me. You're only going about 20 miles an hour, but you have pavement, so you're able to go. But as soon as they left, they went all the way from the barracks, and I stayed behind them all the way until the hotel, which is just over the highway, and then I'm right back in it. I mean, usually the trip takes me about 25 minutes. It took me an hour and 10 to get in this morning, and that was earlier. That was at about 4:15, 4:30. we've gotten 3 or 4 more inches of snow since then. It's awful. And I've seen pictures on TV of people trying to get in on the expressway. It's a disaster out there. Do not, repeat, do not get in your car. If you think, if you look out the window and you say, hey, you know what? It's not that bad. I'll risk it. It is that bad. Oh, don't risk it. Stay home.
It's a 13 head box day on Channel 7.
Yes,
that's when you got 13 heads in 13 different boxes where they say, we are stationed all over New England and we are giving you updates. I mean, it is like a warped version of the opening of the Brady Bunch. Just all of these tiny heads, and then you got, you know, Steve Cooper falling down snow piles and stuff.
Well, that's always good for a laugh.
Which is always great. Now, we don't have the dude that was on the hoverboard that one time in the parking lot.
I have not seen him again.
Well, I would say maybe that was because it was a jackass move. Like, he's like, hey, you know how we can make this like totally crazy? How about getting a hoverboard in the snow? That was always fun. But Mr. Bird in the other room who just got here, which is good, right before the show started.
I'm glad.
He said that, how long was the commute from Everett? The 5 a.m. commute from Everett this morning was approximately how long?
35 minutes for me.
Well, that's not bad.
No, that's great.
35. If you have an SUV, you could just, it's going to take a little longer, but you're good. If you have a normal car, forget it.
Oh, Marshall Hook. Marshall Hook's out there.
Oh, we have the Marshall Hook
is out there.
Okay, so
he's in the snow tracker.
If you don't,
he's driving.
If you don't know, Marshall Hook has this job, which is just utterly ridiculous. He just puts a camera on the front of his car, and for some reason, Channel 7 pays him just to drive around.
I wish I had that job.
And film the roads.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so he just, like, cruises around. Now, is he on the air usually? Oh, yeah. His voice stuff. Okay.
Oh, we could call him. He's not on the air all the time. They use him for little hits there.
But he's on, like, roads no one's on.
That's a good point. He's on a side road. It's like he just left his just left his house and started filming.
It's like he's doing donuts around his neighborhood.
He's north of the city.
Exactly. Yeah. Lots of snow on the road. Yeah. Check it out. There's snow. Well, how's 93? Don't know.
Don't know. There's Fred's convenience store on the right.
But I'll tell you what. In this neighborhood over in Hingham, it is just, we're getting slammed.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-0985.
Seriously, though, just a shout-out to the plow drivers. You are earning your money this morning, man. It's bad out there, and God bless you for being out there.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, it's days like this are tough, but I just looked up on the screen. I saw there's, like, a bunch of power outages.
Yeah.
Also all over town, and this is one of those days, too, where if you're heading to Logan, man, I mean, you're probably going to be screwed for a while. There's supposed to be a bunch of cancellations. I haven't heard anything specifically, but I know that I saw a notice this morning from Hartsfield, or from Logan, rather, saying that if you are headed there, you better make sure that you go online and see whether or not it's been canceled or delayed, because it is. This is going to be the worst day so far of the year for cancellations.
The good news is the snow is legit supposed to, like, turn off, like you're turning off a faucet at, like, 7 or 8 o'clock this morning. I mean, if you look at the radars, it's not snowing in Worcester anymore. It's coming real quick. It's going to end real soon, but the cleanup's going to be massive.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. But now, is it supposed to start back up again, like, anytime soon? Or
no?
Well, I mean, this is just a testament to why March. A lot of people say March is the worst month to live in New England. It's April. I've said that forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm just mentally, if you are not prepared for March, then you are obviously either someone who just moved here or you are weak-willed. Because everyone knows March sucks and it's awful, but it's April. That is the soul crusher. Because winter is such a pain in the ass that when you get to April, everything inside of you, no matter how strong-willed you are, is like, oh, finally, it's over. It's the month of the marathon. It's supposed to get pretty. But those first 2 weeks of April, there's almost always, and John, you and I have talked about this, and it almost always happens, there is some ridiculous snowfall in that first month, that first week of April, that makes you just want to end it. You're just like, why am I here? Why am I living here? This is a nightmare.
You know, it's odd. I should be right along there with you, but I also understand that this is Mother Nature saying, okay, you know, I'm dying out here. Winter's dying out. I got to throw maybe one or two more big ones at you, but then it's over. It's over. It's over in 5 or 6 weeks.
No,
it's over.
It should be over by April 1st, and it never is. It never is. April's the worst. March, I'm cool, man. Like, March, you've mentally
calloused. You got to shake off being from the South. You're not from there. You're from here now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But then that makes me even more so, because I'm not like all these pansies who in March, like, oh, March is the worst. No, you get, it's, everyone knows it sucks. I'm like Tom Brady. I'm DB12. I've calloused my brain.
I see.
I've calloused my brain to not be pissed off.
Right.
in March because it's just, it's always sucks. And it's always worse than you imagine, than you remember it being, because we all have that stupid eternal sunshine thing where we erase the bad memories at the end because spring and summer are so amazing here. But March sucks, but we know that. So it doesn't, it doesn't piss me off as much. April pisses me off. When it snows in April, like, that is like real rage. That's real anger. And by the way, this was kind of funny. So this past weekend, my son's school, my son is in fifth grade, and his school sent out something a couple months ago saying that, hey, if there's any families that want to get together, there might be a school ski day that we're going to have. And I was like, all right, well, you know, my son likes skiing, and I'm kind of, you know, it sounds like something fun to kill a weekend. Why not? So we went up to New Hampshire, and there were about 20 kids from his school that went up there, and, you know, the day started off all right. Everyone's skiing just fine. And by the end of the day, there were only two kids with broken bones out of the 20. We had one that smashed into another kid and completely cracked his collarbone, and another one that on the last run of the day said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go right into a tree, and he snapped his leg. So that's awesome. So we were batting only 10% of the kids that went on the school ski trip ended up in the hospital.
Reason
so.
Number one why I don't ski. I do not ski for that reason, the fear of snapping a knee, tearing an ACL, going over a mogul, or losing control and crashing into somebody else.
You know what, though? I mean, listen, there's going to be accidents, but the bottom line is just don't overski your ability. You know, like, stay on, like, greens if you can only do greens. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do blues, do it with, like, someone who knows what they're doing to kind of at first to ease your way into it. But what happens is most of the people, not these kids, but most people get hurt are people who just show up, go to the top of the mountain, and have no idea, like, what a green is, what a blue is, how to ski, and they end up smacking into other people or hitting, like, trees and getting injured. But if you just kind of stay in your lane and slowly try to get better, most those people usually aren't the ones that you see going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. It's the guy in jeans that shows up at the top of the mountain. It's the dude that wears a sweater and jeans.
Yeah.
And then falls, and then of course they're freezing the entire time because their jeans are wet. And you rarely see a guy in jeans. I saw two guys in jeans on Saturday. It was awesome.
Which mountain did you go to?
I went to Sunapee, which is a great place to ski. It's a great mountain.
All right.
But I saw two dudes in jeans, and it was awesome because I'm like, all right, well, this dude, he's going to, and I'm watching him like almost go down a black diamond too, which was kind of funny. Mm. Like, well, that's going to end a disaster. Let's go to Tom on line one. Tom, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, taking eggs, boys. What's going on?
Hey.
All right, so I'm driving up from Penacook, New Hampshire, which is north of Concord, New Hampshire. I have to travel 93 from exit 16 all the way down to the Mass State line by Methuen just to get to work today. And I'm just passing exit 2 by Windham in Salem, New Hampshire. I'm now just seeing pavement. From 93 all the way down from Concord, it is just it's a crap show. It's just snow everywhere. I haven't seen the roads this bad, and I'm not kidding, in 5 years. I mean, it has been a while since I've seen plows off the side of the road. There's wrecks everywhere. I've driven by 6 wrecks so far. I'm getting off exit 1 right now. It's just, it's a nightmare down here. Absolutely nightmare. We still got about like five hours of snowfall left up in Concord.
Yeah, it sucked. Thanks for calling. I mean, it's true. And it's because it started dumping right around like 10:30 last night is when it started coming down in buckets. So it was pretty fresh. But, I mean, it was coming down so hard. I'm telling you, the plows that were in front of me were plowing 93, and almost by the time I got to where the plows were, it was covered once again because it was snowing so hard.
I looked outside my front door. I woke up early because I knew it was going to be a crap show getting here, and it's about 3:20 in the morning, and I have a guy who plows my driveway. He's got the four-wheel drive. He's got the pickup truck, and he got stuck in my driveway.
Real quick.
Like, and I looked at him like, oh, this is going to be fun.
real quick. Well, actually, here, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with everything that happened last night. Plus, someone on line 2 is that rocking jeans while skiing is cool, dude.
Okay.
We'll get to that right after this.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Night 98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and real quick, Before we get to what happened last night, John, you said that there's some traffic news.
Yeah, a massive backup for those people on the Mass Pike West in Newton. Apparently a box truck, you know, because the roads are so bad, just rolled over. All lanes closed except for one.
Oh, it
just, this is what it's like out there, guys. If you don't have to go out, don't. Stay inside, at least for the next couple hours until the snow stops.
Yeah, just, I mean, if you don't have to go into work, don't. I think most offices have kind of put out that call.
I know this one. This is closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Delayed opening of a bunch of places as well. But I mean, just it's a nightmare out there. It's the worst. It's the worst I've seen it, obviously, this year. And I can't remember the last time it was this bad. So it's been like a couple years that I remember since the road's been this bad. Yes, Dan.
Remember a storm, Mike and I were just talking about it last year, that kind of snuck up on us. This one absolutely did during the overnight, but there was one that fell in the morning, and we all, you know, got out of here after the show, and it took a couple of hours to get home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like 10 or 11, even because the plows just can't keep up with it. And John remembers, Rich, you were probably here 10 years ago when the snow fell and everybody left their office at one time.
At the same time, and it was a nightmare.
It took 2 o'clock. It took about 6 or 8 hours for most people.
6 hours to get to Natick from Brighton.
This isn't that bad because, you know, we got a little bit of a heads up on it, but if you don't have to go out. Yeah,
the roads all over the place. I just saw like one of the screens where they show the condition of each one of the major arteries, and it's like it's red everywhere. So, I mean, just if you don't have to go, don't. Just take the day off or just work from home. I mean, it is awful. All right, real quick, this has to be wrapped up. John on line two, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, man, if you see some guy rocking jeans on the mound, you know he's a legend right off the bat.
I mean, it's one of two things. It's like he's completely clueless, or he's just got the confidence of a man who just is swinging it pretty big down there.
Oh, yeah, usually has a mullet, a butt hanging out of his mouth, and a Bruins jacket from 1986.
I saw a couple Bruins sweaters out there. Yep, I sure did.
Oh, yeah, huge Motley Crue fan, too. So look out for those guys. They're ripping down the Black Diamond backwards.
That might actually be a fun thing to do. We should get a bunch of our listeners and just do the all jeans ski day. The Toucher and Rich skiing in jeans ski bash.
Yeah.
You know, just like a throwback to the old, what was the movie?
Hot Dog the Movie?
Hot Dog the Movie.
Yeah.
Just called the Toucher and Rich Hot Dog Skiing in Jeans Extravaganza. That's what we all need to do. And we need to be like an out cold. We got to have the mug of beer and like, you know, last person with beer in their mug at the bottom wins or whatever. And,
right.
And then there was the one guy who tricked everyone by putting all the beer in his mouth. And when he got to the bottom, like, it's empty. And he spit it back into like, yo, shoop, you did it. So that's what we got to do.
Oh,
go God. Back to do a throwback to the 80s, you know. Those Hot Dog the Movie, the Toucher Rich Hot Dog the Movie skiing and jeans extravaganza.
Not enough homage to the 80s.
I am A-okay with that. I got no problem with doing that. All right, only 18 more games until Kyrie promises we're going to see good basketball.
Austin Rivers, left corner three, no good. Rebound, P.J. Tucker taps it, but right to Hayward. Bodies all over the place. Bounce pass lead, Jaylen Brown in behind Harden for the two-hand slam. It's a 10-point game at the Garden.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, the painful experiment of watching the Celtics phone in the regular season continues as they get booed off their home court, and it was utterly, gratuitously disgusting to watch. They end up losing to the Rockets 115-104. Once again, it was the second quarter where the Celtics took their feet off the gas and let James Harden and Eric Gordon do really whatever the hell they wanted to do.
Houston with the ball to begin the third. Quick three by Eric Gordon.
I mean, it's a wide-open shot.
Yep.
Out of the break. To establish the comeback, a wide-open three.
By the way,
a 25-point Houston.
That was Scal right there. Scal filling in for Cedric Maxwell yesterday. Well, by the end, the time that the first half was over, James Harden and Eric Gordon had scored as much as the whole Celtics team combined. Boston was down by 22, and the crowd at the TD Garden booed the green right off the court. The shooting was abysmal, with the team going 1-for-13 from downtown in the first half. And at one point, they trailed by as much as 28. Just as a reminder, it was less than a week ago that the Celtics trailed by 31 against Toronto. As a matter of fact, three times in the past five games, John, and 11 times this season overall, Boston has faced a deficit of 20 or more points. The team, however, as you heard there in that first clip, did try to get a rally in the fourth, and there was a brief glimmer of what they call effort, but that was short-lived.
Marcus Smart on the inbound, deflected by P.J. Tucker. He outmuscles Jason Tatum for the loose ball, and that is going to do it. That's going to be the Celtics' final chance here today. Tatum gives the foul on Chris Paul, but a day that began with turnovers that set the early tempo any hope the Celtics had just ended with one here.
Well, the Celtics, they went on an 18-6 run to get the game within single digits. By the way, during that run, Kyrie was on the bench. But, of course, the team blew it. Kyrie, by the way, despite having a team-high 24 points, was a minus 17.
Only took 11 shots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find it incredible. They find different ways to have this happen to them each and every day. And there were a lot of turnovers at the beginning, but the stuff on the defensive end, that's the thing. When Brad Stevens, the hallmark of a Brad Stevens team is effort on the defensive end, the rotations, whatever the case may be. There were tons of open shots for Houston. Tons of them. And James Harden had about 5 or 6 layups in the first quarter and a half. I would rather you knock Harden down and put him at the line and force him to make 25 or 30 free throws than to have him make layup after layup after layup. Now, Harden made some huge threes late with guys in his face. That's an MVP caliber player just making shots. But earlier in the game, when it was still a game, Harden made 5 or 6 layups. Gordon had five or six open threes.
Those layups, it was like a layup line. Like they just, it was a Toro. They just let him right through. And on top of that, it's like I was thinking about this yesterday. The Celtics can't guard the perimeter anymore. Like they're letting these teams take record numbers of 3-point shots. All the way back to that Lakers game is the first time I remember sitting back and going,
yeah,
whoa. They can't stop these guys shooting threes.
How is it a team that's this talented is somehow less than the sum of its parts? It's truly baffling to me. I know that these people, all of these guys are good players, and it's not working. And I'm at a loss to figure out why. This goes deeper than whatever problems guys might have with Kyrie. I mean, they are not playing well, and it doesn't matter what combinations are in there. Aaron Baines played yesterday. You know, defense is supposed to get better with Baines out there.
Well, hang on.
No.
Let's be fair about Aaron Baines.
I'm not saying this is Baines' problem. What I'm saying is with Baines out there, the pieces are supposed to fall into place.
First game back, I'll give him a little bit of a leeway. Because, I mean, he's the one guy whose effort, by the way, I never question.
You're missing my point. It's not his fault. What I'm saying is with Baines out there, his presence is supposed to let people on defense fall into place, be where they're supposed to be. And offensively, he's rusty. He looked rusty. That's to be expected. But the defense got worse.
Yeah, he's going to change a lot of the... And listen, I am one of those people who I don't care anything about this regular season anymore because they've told us that they don't care and they've essentially given up. They've given up until the postseason. Now, I'm going to take Kyrie's word. And I'm gonna have to tolerate some really crappy games. 18 more games of just awful basketball because I've been promised, we've all been promised by Kyrie Irving that once this happens, once the postseason starts, all of a sudden they're gonna be a machine. But I'm telling you something, there's something weird with this team's DNA that I have just seen, and it was the Toronto game and it was yesterday's game because they're against good teams that you should be up for. There's something about this team's DNA that's just off.
Okay.
And it's just not right. And I see that there's some guys, there are a few guys you can tell who are trying to push their way through it. Jaylen Brown, believe it or not, is one guy that knows that, and you know what? Good for him. He knows that with this horrible slog that they're going through, that he has an opportunity to actually make a name for himself and get back to a starting role. And you know what? Put him in the start him. Start Jaylen Brown because he's one of the few guys right now, and Marcus Morris couldn't be colder. I mean, he's been cold for a month. As hot as that guy started, put him in there. Jaylen Brown needs to be a starter. And you know what?
I would agree.
I don't even have a problem with you taking Marcus Smart off the starting five right now, and I've been the biggest advocate for that because as soon as you take that starting five off the floor and put the next ones in, they just crap all over the court. That second quarter, they've been embarrassing.
Smart with?
I don't know. You're going to have to move things around. And I'm thinking...
Well, there are only a couple of choices here. I mean, who do you replace Marcus Smart with?
So maybe what you do is you put in... Because the question is, do you replace Morris... When you put in Jaylen Brown, you know, Hayward would be like the first one you would think you'd pop him in for there.
You absolutely take Marcus Morris out of the starting five and put in Jaylen Brown the way he's playing right now.
Well, then maybe Hayward is going to have to kind of be your de facto second guard.
I don't know.
But right now, something...
Because then you've lost any scoring pop off the bench.
Then what do you have off the bench at all? Any kind of energy? You need energy off that bench.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree, Dan just said in my headphones, they're not scoring anyway. You need energy. Because when that second quarter comes around, the first unit comes off. It is awful. I mean, just the air gets sucked out of the room. And the first thing I thought was, Marcus Smart's got to be your guy. just maybe just for now, to put some sort of, you know, those paddles that you should put on the guy who's dying, something to keep this team alive when the starting five gets off the court.
All right, so we have a 4-game West Coast road trip, which starts tomorrow night, and lucky for the Celtics, they get to start it at Golden State.
Real quick, I want to talk to Chris on line two, because I'm if this is true, I'm extremely proud of my man, Chris. Chris, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
So, I was at the game last night. Boy, was that brutal to watch. You just watched them come down on the offensive end of the court. You got Kyrie with the ball, Tatum with the ball. Every other person is standing on the perimeter with their hands on their knees doing nothing, waiting for one guy to drive in. Nobody crashes the boards or anything. It is brutal, man. There is absolutely no chemistry on this team.
And you know what, Chris? I am. Were you one of the people who booed them at the end of the half?
I tried not to. I don't think I've ever been at a game. Like, I've been to a lot of Celtics games. I've never been at one where the crowd was that loud booing their own team. It was tough to watch.
You weren't around.
But you know what? I don't blame them. They got to know, man. I don't blame you at all. And you know, green teamers and stuff get a lot of crap for being too forgiving. When they're booing you, something's wrong. And the thing is that... I would even respect this team if it was just the open shots they were missing, or if just for some reason they were getting beat. I mean, when you play James Harden, chances are he's going to kill you in one way or the other. I mean, as you said, there were a couple of those three-point shots. You couldn't defend them any better. You ended up making them. But that was rare, because there are lapses with this team where they just don't try. And that's all we want to see. As a fan of any team, all you want to see is them giving their best. Just play your ass off. Effort. Effort is something you don't have to be talented to give. I think I learned that when I was in high school. I think my high school football coach taught me that. But it's true. Just get out there and try. But you know what sucks? And you know what? Shame on us. Because we were told by Kyrie Irving that this is the way it's going to be until the playoffs. So all of us fans who have tickets to the games, who enjoy watching the team, you're going to turn the TV on and you're going to suck it. You're going to sit there and go, and you know what? If you leave disappointed, it's on you. Because Kyrie told us exactly what to expect until the playoffs start. And it pisses me off. It really pisses me off, because I haven't felt this way about a Celtics team. I mean, definitely since before the Big Three. Since the Big Three have been here, there hasn't been a team that's pissed me off during the regular season.
Before the Big Three, the effort, they were trying. They just were not talented at all.
Sure. So when's the last time you just saw a Celtics team go out and just not try?
Pitino.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
Pitino. Before Pitino quit. That's it.
Yeah, it's nuts when you think about it in that kind of scale. Like, how Pitino, long it's no, been.
The team just gave up on him.
Sure.
As I'm sure you can imagine. They just gave up on him, and he quit, and then Jim O'Brien came in, and all of a sudden, the effort was there again.
Well, if you want to know how bad it is, when you've lost Tommy Heinsohn.
Oh, boy.
You've really lost everyone. So we will play you Tommy Heinsohn after the game yesterday. I mean, honestly, when you've lost Tommy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Celtics, to turn this around or just show some sort of effort? Because your biggest defender is out, which is shocking. But we'll get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
Special, I want you guys to be
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gordon's at the entry. Capella, everybody was rotating. Capella was all alone. Two-hand slam, and Brad Stevens has seen it up. He'll call the early timeout. 7-0 Houston run. 7:54 to go, opening quarter. Houston 12.
We have to play better. We have, you know, individually and collectively, we have to play better. You know, I've said many times, I have to coach better. We have to do better. And, you know, that's harder, more precise, more together, go through all that stuff. And we're playing good teams. I mean, this is... They're really good.
98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And real quick, let's go to Joe. Joe, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich. Joe, are you okay? She's getting stabbed. Joe. All right. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. Appreciate it.
Somebody help. After all that,
hope my man didn't slide off the road.
My God.
I'm looking at the conditions right now, and it just looks awful. We're going to have to check in with Hook and see about the roads. He's driving around. What station do you work for again?
Seven.
Channel 7. He's He's got the old traffic tracker, a little dash cam as he's driving all around. But it's like, it's not like on the main highways. It's on these, like,
guy. There's our guy with a shovel on a snow mount. There he is.
Oh, we got Steve Cooper?
There he is.
Oh, Steve Cooper.
Got the windbreaker, got the shovel. He's looking at snow. That's a snowbank right there.
Oh, he made a snowman.
There's a snowman.
Hang on. Steve Cooper made a snowman.
Look at him. This is a snowman I made.
Whatever you do, Steve Cooper, don't stand on top of that pile and fall on your ass again like you did.
Check you out. That's brilliant journalism right there. How about that?
What are they doing, man? Why do we need to see that?
That's me in a rest area. I made a snowman. Here's me with a shovel. Why is he holding a shovel? Is he helping out?
Defend off the nefarious people walking out of the rest area bathroom.
I'm just wondering, is he helping out the people in the rest area clear things off?
I don't know. What's he doing with the shovel? It's become absurd. The roads are awful. Just stay off of them. Just stay off the roads. All right. So you saw what happened yesterday during the Celtics game. It's infuriating, but, you know, screw us for expecting anything less, because Kyrie straight up told us this is the way it's going to be until the playoffs start. And you know what? To be honest, I'm not even going to hold Kyrie accountable for anything until it happens. But if they don't flip that switch, and it sure as hell doesn't look like they're going to be able to, if you can't get up for a nationally televised game on a Sunday afternoon against one of the better teams in the NBA, then I don't know what to tell you. I could see on a random Tuesday night, not getting up for a Bulls game and getting, you know, and losing that one. I understand that. I actually do. But, I mean, that's not cool. And you know what? If you've lost Mike Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn, and we're going to have Mike Gorman on this week. We weren't able to have him on last week. But when you lost these guys, man, you got issues.
I see no indication they even know where the switch is. this team is dysfunctional on the defensive end and pretty much on the offensive end too right now. They did get some effort out of the bench tonight, 31-9. They outscored Houston, but that's more the way Houston plays. They just leave their starters out there all the time. For me, this was a very discouraging loss here this afternoon in the sense that I didn't feel the Celtics competed.
I thought the Celtics had devised a new way of minimizing Harden, giving him layups so he wouldn't take the threes.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a new way on me, but that really was not good.
Amica Auto Home and Life Insurance.
Oh, and there's a little plug at the end, too, as a matter of fact. I'm glad that maybe that was the Amica band that was kicking it in the background.
How many open shots did Houston have in that game?
How many? They can't defend the perimeter. They're no good in the paint without Baines. And I know Baines is back. Listen, he's not going to be excellent on his first game back. I understand that.
And on the offensive end, we had a caller call in during the last segment that was absolutely right. On offense, it's one or two guys, and the other three are standing on the other side of the floor waiting. You watched what Houston did. You watched Chris Paul consistently hit the open guy in the perimeter in transition. There were guys spotting up all over the place. Houston takes a lot of threes. That's what they do. But Eric Gordon was driving by people to the basket. He's a great three-point shooter, and he was blowing by guys and scoring layups himself. Everything is really hard on the offensive end for the Celtics. Nothing was hard on the offensive end for Houston, and nothing's been hard for the opponent during this last run either.
Celtics have been one of the worst defensive teams in February. I think they're like ranked 28th. Like, I mean,
bottom five.
They've been awful, and that was something at the beginning of the season that was kind of they could rest their hat on. Is that, well, you know, I mean, we caused the turnovers. We're obviously, I think they were top five.
Yeah,
they
went
from top five to bottom five.
We'll lose games 104-95.
Yeah,
but at least we'll play hard defensively. They're giving up points in bunches.
Yeah, it's no good. Look who's back. Joe, what's up, man? You didn't fly off the road, did you? Line one. What's up, Joe?
Hey, man, how you doing? I think the issue here is that I think Brad Stevens is way in over his head with this team. And I like to get back to what I saw on that documentary of the 1986 Celtics. I know I'm going back a little further, but when they interviewed all them players, there were a lot of egos on that team, and I think there's a lot of egos on that team this year that we're dealing with today. And they all said it took one thing to get them all together, is that they had a coach who knew how to manage those egos. I don't think Brad Stevens knows how to do that. I don't think he's ever had experience with that, and I think that's affecting the team because these players are doing whatever they want. They walk up the court, they don't hustle, and he just sits there with his hands folded. He never shows any emotion. He never, like, gets out there and starts screaming at him.
That has nothing to do with it. You know, Casey Jones was the head of that 86. Casey Jones was the head of that 86 team. Did he rant and rave and scream at people?
And he knew how to manage.
No, but you're talking about Brad Stevens losing it and throwing things. That has nothing to do with it. Casey Jones was a mild-mannered guy that managed egos just fine.
Hey, Joe, if you're gonna kill Brad Stevens, kill him for not changing this lineup, like not doing something to shake it up. Because
he's not managing the team right. He's not changing the lineup the way he should.
Well, I agree with you in that case. I think that it's like also a situation where people have earned their way into the starting lineup again, like Jaylen Brown. And I think that there's nobody on this team that should feel safe as a starter. I mean, honestly, I Kyrie, obviously you have to put out there and he's going to get you points. And right now he's one of the few scorers on this team. Like everyone's just gone cold.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. Honestly, you could tweak things, but I don't think anyone should. I don't think a massive change to the starting lineup. It all comes back to chemistry. And whether or not these guys are willing to share the basketball.
Well,
I said this last week. Toronto is exactly what the Celtics were supposed to be. A very deep team with a bunch of very good players, with one really exceptional player that share the basketball without ego.
So
that's what this offense was supposed to be, and it's not. So that's the difference.
This is a new feature that has seemed to become a thing called Kyrie's press conference in its entirety. Are you ready?
Yeah.
His entire press conference right here.
What happened in the first half?
Just didn't play well.
Currently in your career, have you ever gone through anything like this?
What are you going to do to turn it around? Just play better.
Curry, which was the bigger challenge for you guys, or issue tonight, the struggles you guys had as a team shooting three ball, or just defensively trying to limit their three-point shooting?
A little bit of both.
When you think about some of the issues that you guys had tonight as far as defending the three-point line, what are some of the things that kind of jump up that you guys can just tweak and get a little bit better at?
Just our rotation stuff. Being better on rotations.
Kerry, you said you want to be the leader of this team. What do you have to do to kind of turn this thing around as a leader?
You just got to play better.
Anything out of that fourth quarter comeback?
Matter is all in the win. So, I just got to play better.
Kyrie, do you think you guys can come together on this road trip?
We'll see.
All right, for those counting at home, Kyrie's asked 7 questions and used a total of 25 words before the PR guy ended this interview. And you know what? I was just thinking about it, and Dan was conferring. Best case scenario for Kyrie Irving is that he's David Price. He's a guy that throughout the season, he just drives you crazy and you can't stand the guy's personality and he pisses you off. And then in the postseason, he becomes a monster.
Well, I mean,
that's your best case scenario is that Kyrie Irving is David Price.
Kyrie has been a monster in the postseason before and is a much more talented player at his sport than David Price is at his.
Okay.
You can't make that comparison.
Sure you can. Right now you can.
Personality-wise, maybe, but not talent-wise. Not even close.
Well, I'm saying as far as his personality and like what he's able to do. And I think and there were times during the regular season where, maybe not this year, but where people questioned whether or not he was going to be able to pull it off. And now you look at the DNA of this team and it just doesn't seem like they've got it. But you hope that he's able to just do what he promised. You said, if we sat through this crap, you're going to be able to deliver in the postseason. And I just don't see it happening.
Real quick, the Celtics are 2.5 games behind Philadelphia for that fourth spot. Three is gone. 1 and 2 are definitely gone. And I think 6th place is 6 games behind the Celtics. They're going to finish 4 or 5 with only about 20 games left. If they go out on this West Coast road trip and you have Golden State tomorrow night, Sacramento, and then the 2 LA teams all in a row, if you lose 3 out of 4, I mean, you might be in a situation where the 4 seed's gone too, and you have 3 consecutive series on the road if you get by the first one. That's not good. That's not good at all. I think you need home court against Philadelphia just to be sure, and then you take your chances with either Milwaukee or Toronto.
All right, let's talk about the anti-Celtics when we get back. There is another team that plays the TD Garden that is absolutely killing it and deserves airtime. We'll talk a little about the Bruins right after this.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Far point, it's fired. And Krejci's drive, stick to side. Out in front, Marchand shoots, he scores!
The Bruins throw a pass to the bottom of the right wing circle, and Marchand had time to look, picked his spot, and whipped it inside the far post. A power play goal. Bruins 1, Devils nothing.
You know, just as a testament to how good this Bruins team is that, you know, you get a nice quality win the other night, and it's a letdown from just the ass kickings that they had against San Jose and the Lightning. But a win is, man, I'm telling you, this team, they play hard and they continue to fight through not having their best scorer out there on the ice. Possibly not, what are they saying? Like, you know, possibly a week. It was like last week, right around this time, but they said it was more than likely 2 weeks. And he's skating, right? He's just got that thing on his thumb. So, and he'll be back soon. But I mean, in that time, since he went down, they have outscored opponents 31-12. Think about that. Your best scorer goes down. And since that moment where he wasn't on the team, he wasn't with the team, they have outscored other teams 31-12.
It's not the 31 that I focus on. It's the 12.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive.
It's the 12, and it's impressive. And the other thing is this team scores goals in bunches. You saw it back-to-back. You know, you get three goals in about 3 minutes against San Jose, and then the next game you get three goals in 90 seconds. I mean, that's the thing. And it's not Marchand scoring two or three goals a game, even though he scored the one goal that beat New Jersey over the weekend. A lot of people are chipping in. And Marcus Johansson looks very comfortable on that second line. And, you know, Danton Heinen continues to fit in on that first line. As long as that stays true, the sky's the limit, man. They can give Tampa Bay a run for their money in the second round.
Well, and we've seen, obviously, what they can do against those, because they have two games left with Tampa Bay, that's right. But one of them's, like, I think the last game of the season. So
yes, that is true.
That could basically be an all bets are off. You're playing, you know, your call-ups. I mean, just at that point, the standings might be the standings.
Tampa's already put this thing away. They're not going to be playing for much.
Sure. But, I mean, so you basically have one more game that matters.
Yeah, it is the last game of the season. They do have two games left against Tampa.
So it's March 25th and April 5th?
April 6th, but yes, March 25th and April 6th. Yeah, they have Columbus again. You got Winnipeg coming up. You got Pittsburgh coming up. I mean, there are some tough games in there. But all in all, I mean, if you look at the schedule as it is, you should win the majority of them.
And the other thing, too, is that Tuukka Rask has just been unbelievable since and Halak, right about Christmas.
And Halak has found his game again.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a good goalie tandem. The defense is the thing. They're just choking teams to death. It's great to watch. And yeah, they're not. I wish all Bruins games would be like the San Jose game. That would be fabulous to watch.
Well,
it's not going to be like that.
Both San Jose games.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, back and forth. San Jose doesn't care. San Jose is like, we'll give up a goal on this end. We're just going to score two at the other end. It's fantastic to watch, but that's not the way the Bruins play.
Well,
it's nice to know they can win that way, but that's not the way the Bruins play.
Is this right? Can somebody in the other room check on this? Did Rask? So Rask hasn't lost a game in regulation since before Christmas? That's what it looks like looking at this. But, I mean, it's felt that way. I just kind of wanted to take a look and see how well he's been playing. And I think it's been since, like, the middle of December.
They lost. Well, he lost.
In regulation.
Okay.
Because I know he's lost, in overtime.
He lost the 19th of January to the Rangers, 3-2. Oh, that was in relief. So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. He has not lost a game in regulation since before Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Carolina.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, the team the Bruins play next.
right.
Right.
But, I mean, just honestly, ever since Pucks and Paddles, and you know, I joke about it being, you know, because they did the event with us. But, I mean, you can trace it back to, remember they went on that losing streak right before Pucks and Paddles, and immediately afterwards, they have been an absolute wagon. Points in 15 straight games. This is a team it's easy to root for. You know, the way that you've got Backes fighting through, I mean, all those concussions and injuries, and you've got, of course, Noel Achary, whose face was completely destroyed by a hockey puck, and he's out there playing, even though Bruce Cassidy had essentially written him off the other day. He took him off the roster, and he shows up and goes, no, I'm playing. Just give me that big-ass Spaceballs helmet and make sure I don't get knocked in the face anymore. But they're playing with guts, man. Every single period, they're playing with guts, and that is something that I wish they could give a little bit of that to the Boston Celtics. Just leave some in the locker room for the next time they play there, because you got one team playing with, as Kevin Garnett said, grit and balls, and another one that's just coasting and waiting for the postseason. And I don't know if that's a healthy way to go into the postseason, but I'm going to have to take Kyrie's word. All right, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just the headlines. And when we get back, the roads are a disaster. Marshall Hook, who is cruising around in the old Channel 7 mobile, will give us an update on what's happening out there, as well as all the cancellations and everything with the nasty, crappy weather that we've got right now.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.